When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
Purple Daily is daily Vikings entertainment. We just want the Vikings to win a Super Bowl before we die.
I will ride with this group.
Seriously, man. Please.
And away we go.
All right, welcome in. Purple Daily here, boys. And by the way, we will hopefully this week, in the coming days, have an official announcement about the 2024 Purple Daily Draft Party. So make sure that you're already blocking off your calendars for that Thursday, the last Thursday in April, to come hang out with us. This will be the third annual Purple Daily Draft Party. It is basically our Super Bowl, where we like to bring in as many of you, meet as many of you as possible. We will have an announcement about a location, a venue, soon here in the coming days. I think we dotted some I's and crossed some T's yesterday. And now we're just putting together a couple final items and details, but we're pretty pumped about it. We're pretty pumped about it.
Yeah, it's always fun, and I think this one should take it up a notch. How about
yes.
that?
Yes, it should.
The previous ones have been great, so I don't mean to
disparage
them.
They've been great. We needed a little bit more space after last year. Park Tavern was amazing, so we went out in search of a little bit more space, so we'll keep you guys posted on that. Before we dive into a state of Kwesi discussion going into year three and also bonus hard count questions for you guys, let's shout out our friends at Livia here, Judd. Starting that new year, right? It's February. If you haven't gotten on your game and started losing weight, get on it right now, guys.
Still time to drop weight. That's sports dad right there. Lost 40 pounds a couple of years back, and now they are offering breakthrough weight loss medications in their center locations. Livia's new medical weight loss program offers GLP-1 medications that will support you in overcoming those biological barriers, those pesky barriers that can make losing weight so difficult. Contact them now, 855-GO-LIVEA, or go to Livia, LIVEA.com, and get all the information. I can tell you this, though, if you join now, you're going to be looking good and feeling good come springtime, feeling fantastic and on that weight loss journey that so many people, and we thank them, from the Purple Daily family have joined already. Livia, LIVEA.com.
Amen. Amen. Okay, just in general or as specifically as you guys would like to answer this question, Kwesi's going into year three as the, I was going to say new general manager of the Vikings, but he's not really new anymore. He's going into year three. So he's had some time to lay some groundwork. He's had two drafts. He's made some trades here and there. He's got his coach going into year three. How do you feel in general about Kwesi? Like 1 to 10 scale, 10 being put him in the Hall of Fame tomorrow as an executive, 1 being fire his ass immediately if he sneezes the wrong way tomorrow. Where are you at with Kwesi right now?
Well, I still think that there's a lot of unknowns, and some of them are going to be answered in the coming weeks and months, because this to me is by far and away the most important offseason that the Vikings and Kwesi will embark on. Like this to me is one of the most interesting offseasons right now that the Vikings have had in years. But if you were to ask me to give a score as you just did, I would say I would put them at about a 4. Yeah. And here's why. 2022 draft, and I understand that he probably had some Spielman holdovers as far as impact voices, but that draft is so bad that I don't think the Addison pick last year I can balance them yet. So I can't just say, well, the 2022 draft was a whiff, but 23 looks improved. It does, but you can't afford to whiff on drafts. Like, we've seen that. That's where your depth comes from. That's where you're, like, if you're going to be a Super Bowl team, you ordinarily don't whiff on drafts. Now, you might whiff on picks. You know, if Lewis Cede was a bust, which he appears to be, and starting with Booth, everyone else is like, oh yeah, that works. Mm-hmm. Then it's unfortunate, and it probably deserves criticism, but it doesn't deserve the scrutiny that I think that we rightfully give 2022. So that, to me, is the first thing. The other thing is, and this grade could go up, but the most important thing, I think, at the end of the day, and O'Connell's also going to be tied into this, Phil, is this one, the quarterback. Like, Kirk Cousins is not Kwesi's guy. He inherited him. Now, did he inherit him just to keep him until he's 42 years old? I don't know yet. But I also think that we can't judge Kwesi. And at this point in time, Kwesi gets no credit on the QB because he's maintained status quo. So I give him a 4. I am not done with him. But I will say this. I do think the decisions made in the coming months will decide or play a big role in his future, because a 4-year contract, which is what they reportedly gave Kwesi and O'Connell in that world, those are very short contracts. Those are ripcord contracts, baby. Those are, in case of an emergency, pull the lever and get out. So this is, to me, this is going to be the defining offseason for Kwesi Adofo-Mensah. But right now, state of Kwesi from me, I give him a 4.
So it's like a 4 for you. What about like a DEFCON level of job security? So DEFCON 1 is the
nuclear
the
war.
Worst, right?
Yeah, it's nuclear war.
Yeah.
And then DEFCON 5 is like your... Are there only 5 levels of DEFCON?
DEFCON, yeah.
Once you emerge on the DEFCON scale, it's a problem, but okay. Yeah, where is he on the DEFCON, like, jobs in jeopardy scale?
Well, I put him at a 3 right now.
So the Air Force is ready to mobilize in 15 minutes?
Yeah.
That'd be Do you have that pulled up?
Yes, okay. That'd be DEFCON 3 as the Air Force is ready to go.
I'd put him at a 3.
What's DEFCON 5 then?
Just
the
normal readiness. Like, we're always in DEFCON 5, I believe. Like, right? I think we're in a lowest. We're always kind of flirting in DEFCON 5 in general.
He was at DEFCON 5 last year at this time. They had just won, 13 games, right?
Oh, yeah.
They just won 13 games. Year one, still time. Like, I'm not saying that last offseason was not important, but you're still in that really nice honeymoon type of phase.
Yeah, yeah.
But now it's a 3 because, again, I'll come back to this. It's a 3 because of how pivotal this offseason is.
Yeah,
this could swing you. This could put you back at 5, or this could put you at 1 or 2.
But we won't know, really. He's gonna get the year to sort of play it out.
What about you? What if Kirk comes back and the team falls flat?
Then we're probably talking more like DEFCON 1 or 2, right?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So like, this could be, if they go with like JJ McCarthy and retool things, I think you're right. I think it gets more time.
But, yeah. That's the funny thing. If you consciously get worse at quarterback in the short term, the DEFCON pressure goes down, right? Like,
yeah.
Isn't that the funny thing? Like, they could actually relieve some organizational pressure. Mm-hmm. Everyone from the Wilfs all the way down. If they said, we're not the 49ers. I know we beat the 49ers in October. Hang the banner.
Come on. Yeah, I was going to say, come on. They beat the 49ers. If I hear that one more time.
Dude, there's nothing. We love to celebrate October peaking in Vikings territory.
You know what?
Like, the Vikings peak in October and November. The Niners and the Chiefs peak in January, February.
You know what? The Wild beat the Golden Knights last night. The Golden Knights won the Stanley Cup last spring. It means nothing.
Hang the banner.
It is incredible. Why do we do that?
Well, it's all we have, because we don't ever see these teams peak at the actual right time. So, like, we're just going to go find when did they peak? Let's celebrate the peak. Dex, what about you? 1 to 10 scale, Kwesi, the job he's doing, and then give us a DEFCON level.
Job he's doing about a 6.5. I'm a little bit more bullish than Judd. I actually think if the processes in the draft were reversed, so let's say you drafted Addison first in the first draft, right? And you got Ivan Pace too, and, you know, maybe you have a nice little cornerback Mekhi Blackmon. But then your second draft was the Lewis Cine, Andrew Booth complete bust draft. Just a horrible draft in year two. I think there's more heightened pressure going into this draft if you were to flip the two drafts around. Because I actually think his process, Thor talked about this too on Thor Thursday, it got better last year. They took the wide receiver they were supposed to. They addressed some needs. They found Ivan Pace. They found Andre Carter. They found some actually really good processes where he made some definitely significant mistakes that are hurting him from year one, but I actually think he made better additions in the draft last year. That being said, I'll go back to, I think, something we talked about when the season ended was, if you go 7-10 with a rookie quarterback or you go 7-10 with Kirk Cousins and bringing it back, your job security is a lot safer if you go 7-10 with the rookie quarterback who showed strides of getting better than it is going 7-10 with the same damn team for like the fifth time in 6 years, right? So that's where I'm willing to give him a little bit of a pass. I'm at a 6.5. I'm at DEFCON 4, which is increased watch and strengthened security. That is where I'm at. I'm above regular readiness. I don't have the Air Force on the horn quite yet. You know, I'm good. Okay. I'm good there. But DEFCON 4 for me and a 6.5 out of 10.
This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation. Man, you guys have hit on some of the good, some of the bad. I mean, I made a list before the show of just like the good, the bad, to try and figure out where am I at when it comes to Kwesi. One thing on the good, so you guys mentioned like the two drafts on the good and the bad. The 2023 draft is in the good category, I think. The 2022 draft. Now, he would fight back and say, okay, Ed Ingram has been a 2-year starter, albeit he's been a below average starting right guard.
First year was one of the worst offensive linemen. Sort of a bust, who knows?
Yeah. Caleb Evans has been a starter, and Ty Chandler was a starter at the end of the year, and he might say, hey, I mean, Kevin's got to play my guy. Ty Chandler, he's my guy. So he might try to fight for some of these guys in the 2022 draft. One of the things on the good side for Kwesi, he's done a good job weeding out a lot, if not all, of the bad contracts. Now, he did make the Kirk Cousins contract worse than it had to be by doing, like, the accounting void year thing where they took over half of his cap hit and put it into void years after 2023, right? So he's kind of made a mess of the books on the Kirk contract, but got rid of pulled the Band-Aid off on Thielen, Eric Kendricks, Dalvin Cook. So really the only messy contract left besides the Kirk $28.5 million in void money is probably Harrison Smith, but you can get out from underneath that with a pretty quick little penalty in 2024. So credit to him. So the Vikings right now going into 2025, so a year from now, have the fifth most cap space of any team in the league. And that was a big thing for him. Come on in here. You're way over the cap when he took the job. Competitive rebuild. So you got to clear some cap space in the short term, which they did for a couple years. But he has cleared out the closet for 2025. Justin Jefferson's got to, you know, be a big chunk of that, right? Darisaw at some point. Right. The Hockenson trade, I think. And now the Lions wind up getting a second round pick and maybe the better tight end out of it in Sam Laporta. Kind of feels like when the Twins traded AJ Pierzynski to the Giants and they wind up getting, like, you know, they get Francisco Liriano and they get Joe Nathan. Oh, and then they have the better catcher in Joe Mauer come in and take over. But they did get a top three pass catching tight end, top five.
And he played a great role that in season Hockenson. For sure. Came in immediate impact.
Yep. Yeah,
he's done some good things. There's no question. We have to see the quarterback thing play out for me. I mean, I'll be so hugely swayed by that. Cause if you are like, well, we're going to bring Kirk back and it's on a Kirk contract. And that's the thing. I don't understand why. And I don't think it's the people that watch the show, but there just seems to be a misunderstanding of that. Like, we hate Kirk. No, I've hated his contracts. So, like, that's my whole thing is, and Phil, to your point, they are going down a path where, yes, if you build up cap room, that's awesome. If you re-sign your key players, that's great. But at some point in time, you have to press a reset. And that's like that. That's where I think that we're at a critical stage right now, because you've got that chance. The question is, do you do it? And the scary thing about this, and we don't know this, is are you allowed to? Like, well, are the Wolves like, okay, that's cool. Because we might be blaming Kwesi for some things that the Wolves are at fault for.
Well, the Wolves didn't tell him to draft Lewis Cien.
That's what I was going to say. Yes, agreed with that. But I'm saying, as far as like, if Kirk sticks around, is that Kwesi and Kevin, or is that the Wolves?
That's a huge thing. It's like, hey, congratulations. You get one of the 32 NFL general manager jobs in the world. You get to be paid seven figures. This is a dream job for you. Oh, one caveat. You have to keep extending Kirk Cousins. You have to keep paying insane amounts of money to a mid NFL starting quarterback. I know there's a lot of Cousins crusaders that say, no, I literally saw people on social media saying he was better than Patrick Mahomes in the regular season this year without any.
Oh, I saw that one. Yeah.
Sort of like contact. Like, if you're just looking at the back of the football card stats.
Yeah.
Okay. That's not how football games are won. By back of the football card stats, there was a year where like Blake Bortles threw for 4,000 yards and had more yards than some of the best quarterbacks in the league. Like, stop looking at back of the football card stats. But you're kind of hitting on a checklist. So before I answer the DEFCON question, what's the checklist for an NFL general manager? Like, what are the most important? I think there's five or six things on a checklist if you're an NFL GM that you have to account for. Quarterback, obviously, is he checking the boxes on these? Solution at quarterback. Well, right now,
no.
Going into his third year, he has two quarterbacks under contract right now, Jaren Hall and Nick Mullins. So it's a no. Yeah, it's a no right now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Coach
is one, we think, but I mean, that still needs to play out.
He passed on Jim Harbaugh, or did the Wolves pass on Jim Harbaugh?
I think the front, I think people above him passed on Jim Harbaugh. I think the Wolves were involved. But I think that there are some people in business ops there who probably have too much of a impact on what football ops does, which to me is always a terrible idea. But I just don't know on Kevin. I mean, we've seen good and bad, and I would certainly like to see what I would consider to be growth next season.
Yeah, it's leaning toward a yes. Like they clearly found someone that has connected with the players. We're not dealing with I'm trying to think, like a Les Steckel 1983 situation. We're not dealing with who's the Chargers coach again, a Brandon Staley situation.
And
yet,
Kevin's done some good things too. Like I think that I think that in 2 years, you can say he has done a very good job as far as the culture goes, which you can laugh at that term or not, but that's important.
But to this point, he's not Andy Reid. He's not Sean McVay. He's not even Kyle Shanahan. On the culture part, I'm going to put that as a box to check for a GM. Because one of the biggest reasons why Zimmer and Spielman were both shown the door at the same time is the culture behind the scenes, in the locker room, in the hallways, had just turned toxic. Mm-hmm. So I think it's more of a coach thing, because the coach is the one that's building the on-the-ground culture. But the GM is 30,000 feet. Are you building a non-toxic culture? Our guys like bought in for the most part, you know, and, you know, they won 13 games the first year. They didn't quit in the second year. I know they lost a bunch of games, but I guess you accused the defense of quitting a couple times, but they showed a lot of fight in a season in which they lost some key pieces to injury. So that's probably a check. I would say the other three are like offensive line, pass rush. Let's go with those two. Pass rush box. Well, Danielle Hunter is a free agent.
No check.
It's a no right now.
It's a no. No, it's definite no.
Offensive line, you inherited a left tackle and a right tackle. Mm-hmm. The middle part of your trenches offensively.
It's at best, it's a question mark.
Full yes, yeah.
If it's not a no, it's a question mark.
And then I would say just like filling out the rest of your roster, right? Like the other, you know, if quarterback, pass rush, offensive line are the most important positions, then it's like all the other sort of fixings around
depth,
the plate, right? Depth. And it's a no to a maybe right now.
Well, defensively, it's a big old no.
Mm-hmm.
And offensively, he inherited a lot of those pieces. And that again is where you just can't miss on almost an entire draft.
Yeah. imagine too, like it's, someone put a graphic up of the last 2 years, the Chiefs have just like nailed all these all across the board, right? McDuffie, Trent McDuffie with like the 21st overall pick, just making plays in the Super Bowl, and Isaiah Pacheco. If you go back to the 2022 draft, and let's say you turn Lewis Cine and Andrew Booth into hits, boom, boom. Or even like Andrew Booth and Ed Ingram. Ed Ingram is not just like a starter hanging on by a thread, but he's a stud. He's one of the best right guards in the league. Two players flipping from bus to big-time contributors.
Yep.
Changes your outlook. I mean, that's, think about that. That's like 10% of your starting 22 players right there.
Well, I mean, let's just say you don't trade back first round 2022. There's about three guys there that you could have taken that all would be hits. Now let's say Booth works. And now let's say the rest of the draft busts out. Okay. It busts. We're not having this conversation.
Yeah, it's different. Or even Asamoah, man. Like if he's okay, yeah. Now you got two linebackers flying around.
But you know, you missed on a second round cornerback. That's a huge, I mean, you look at what these teams in the Super Bowl have at corners, right? Like that's the thing where I do go back and say Brian Flores deserves praise. And I know that the defense definitely was hurt and dropped off, and probably there were some tells. But when you look at what Brian Flores did with the, in air quotes, talent, Now he had some nice pieces. I'm not saying he didn't. But you watch what Kansas City, what Spags had, and Spags is fantastic. But you watch what he had as far as the chips, as
Chris
far as
Jones, Karloftis, like these shutdown cornerbacks. Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah. And San Francisco, too, just the pieces at every level on that defense. So with all that, I'll say I'm at like a 5 on a 1 to 10 scale, just my own evaluation of Kwesi so far. DEFCON, what's DEFCON 2, Declan? Can you give me the definition on
DEFCON 2 would be Army is ready to take action in less than 6 hours. We are near nuclear war. That seems a little aggressive.
I think that's where they are right now. I do.
Wow, you're mobilizing.
No, this is kind of where I think he's at job security wise.
Special reports breaking in.
Dude, I
CBS,
think they would
NBC?
If they had a weird God, if they if let's say they started 0-4 or 1-5 or something, like I think they would move off Kwesi a lot quicker than they would move off Kevin O'Connell right now.
I do agree with that. I do agree.
So I'm just saying, like Kwesi, this is life in the NFL, man. This is life in the NFL. It's a big 3 or 4 month stretch.
When you put it that way, I don't disagree with you.
Right?
I think Kevin has built up, well, partially though, because we see him all the time, press conferences, obviously coaching. It's harder with a GM, but I do agree with you that if you ask me right now to handicap who would go first? Like if one had to go, I think it's the GM, not the coach.
This is probably a good soft launch into our hard count questions. But do you guys, like with all these doomsday like movies and TV shows, can you guys see yourself ever being doomsday like preppers? You know, like where you're buying a bunch of stuff or like you build a bunker or something?
No.
Could you ever
can we
see
make
yourself
that the
doing
first?
That?
Let's make that the first hard count question.
Hold your water.
Hard count.
Balls, green 18, green 18.
That's a great question. What was the movie that I saw recently where they were?
Did you see the new Netflix one with?
Yeah, that's the one.
I watched
Jennifer. Is Jennifer Garner in that?
Yep. Not Jennifer. Yeah, Julia Roberts. Julia Roberts, right?
Julia Roberts.
Yes.
Is she?
Hold on. I'm going to get this movie up because I'd watch it too. Everything. Leave the World Behind. Leave the World Behind. That's
Dawn started to watch that. She stopped.
Yeah, Leave the World Behind. Really good movie. Ethan Hawke, right? He's the doomsday prepper.
Yeah, Julia Roberts,
no, he's
Ethan Hawke.
But
Ethan Hawke?
Yeah, Kevin Bacon.
Movie. Kevin Bacon is their doomsday prepper that like helps them out at the end, kind of.
Was available.
That's a really good movie. Really like that movie. Cool. But
you know, it feels like a lot of work. Now, here's the thing. If you are loaded, right? That's like, what's the other movie from like 10 years ago? It's a brownstone, like four level townhouse in New York. Is it called an escape room? Not an escape room, but it's like a private bunker room that people sometimes have in their rich houses, right?
Yeah.
if you had enough money to pay someone to prepare that for you, all in, totally. But yes. If you just like live in a 1,000-square-foot apartment or house or something,
you're bound. Yep.
What are you going to do? Are you going to turn like your second or third bedroom into
Hold on a second though. What's the, so if I'm asked to prep Dex, am I prepping for nuclear war? Am I prepping for like what's coming at me?
Yeah, like nuclear war type of famine, martial law, aliens. Like aliens.
Oh, then I'm done. No.
And
no. Because if I get a safe room, I'm dead.
What do you mean you're dead?
If there's a nuclear war and I'm in a brownstone that has a safe room, I'm going to die. I'm still going to die.
No, you would survive. The point of the safe room is that you would survive.
You'd be okay.
Oh, I don't think those safe rooms. Okay. I thought those.
You don't think those rooms are up to code?
So, if given two choices, Judd, you can just be sitting on your couch when an alien comes in, or you can be in a safe room and take your chances. You're choosing just sit on your couch?
An alien, I'm choosing the safe room. I think if you Google this, I don't think a safe room above ground would save you in a nuclear war. Well, I think you'd die.
You can build it below ground then.
I'm not going below ground. That was the 50s Russian thing. No way. If it's a nuclear war, I'm dying. I'm done.
You're done. I mean,
I'm peacing out.
It's really expensive to. There was a celebrity that was in the news a couple weeks ago that like built a massive below ground safe room of some kind.
Really?
But how much canned food would you need? That's the problem. It's like, have you guys ever seen I Am Legend, that movie with Will Smith like 15 years ago?
Great movie. Love
where
movie.
He's like the lone survivor in a massive city. Is it like New York City?
Yeah, New York.
And he's got all this, but like at some point, even the canned food's going to go bad, right? It's been like 5 or 6 years.
Probably.
You're probably screwed.
Who wants to be around, too? Like, do you really want us to be, like, a lone survivor?
Yeah, actually.
Of a nuclear war?
And, you know, like...
Be actually kind of fun.
The internet's gone. Cables, TV's gone.
But you don't need the internet. There's no one else. Like, no one else would be feeding content to the internet.
Judd needs that. Judd actually does need that.
No, it'd be terrible.
He would... The moral of the story is Judd would not survive. Yeah, Judd would not be a part of this. He would gladly walk out in the street and just be like, take me.
I would want to die. The best show of all time about this is The Twilight Zone with Burgess Meredith.
Yes.
I won't ruin it, but he survives the same thing, and the ending is phenomenal.
Very, very underrated show for the young generations. If you've not gone back and watched Twilight Zone, like the old school ones.
And it's a great ending.
Speaking of old school,
Green 18! Green 18!
Question number two here in the hard count. Mike Zimmer has been, I don't know if it's officially announced, but like reportedly he will be the next defensive coordinator of the Dallas Cowboys. Will Mike Zimmer be the final piece that the Dallas Cowboys need to push that team over the top?
No. No, he won't. No. I think he might do some good things. He's had, 2 years now? During which he was collecting millions of dollars from the Wilfs not to work. It was genius. He didn't want to take a job so he could just collect their dough,
just
which I
stick
love.
Stick it to him. Yeah.
I absolutely think that that's great. But no, do I think he'll be a failure? No, I think he'll be fine. But I think the Cowboys, this is not an indictment of Zim. I think the Cowboys' problems in the playoffs, and I think their issues run well beyond like Dan Quinn, who had a bad game against Packers, but I think they run well beyond like the DC. If the DC Titans fit things up, I think you got Dak problems. I mean, I think you might have a Mike McCarthy problem. I think there's a better chance that Zimmer is the head coach of the Cowboys than they win a championship with him as the defensive coordinator.
See, I was going to bring that up too. Is this a smart play by Zimmer on two fronts? Number one, you get to get back in the game, Micah Parsons, Trayvon Diggs, you get all these great pieces. And also, if the team starts slow and Mike McCarthy does something boneheaded, you're probably just elevated to head coach, right? I mean, there's an opportunistic angle to this for Zimmer. By the way, he has been, as a head coach and a coordinator, he has been the overseer of 11 top 10 defenses in his career, going back to the early 2000s with the Cowboys and with the Bengals. And so he can still coach defense. He's always wanted to just be if you could have told him, hey, Mike, we'll give you head coaching money, but you can just be a defensive coordinator, right? Like he's always been more into being a coordinator than an actual head coach.
The problem was he lost at least a little bit his fastball as far as his defenses go. And I also think that part of the falling out with Rick was the drafts as well, because I think that the talent started to dissipate a bit. But what if Zim got the job? McCarthy gets fired, and Zim goes out of his way to coddle and be nice to Dak Prescott just to stick it to Kirk.
I've learned from my previous,
just because he hates Kirk so much.
Starting quarterback.
Yeah, Dak Prescott's unbelievable. I'm a huge fan of his. You know he would do that too. He's so vindictive.
It's also kind of funny that he winds up with like just the NFC East Kirk Cousins, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, Dak had a great regular season and he was in the mix. He was second in MVP voting, but at the end of the day, in the playoffs, the real Dak Prescott comes out, right?
Yeah.
The guy that's a little bit nervous, makes some bad turnovers. Dak, so do you think Mike Zimmer is the final piece that Dallas needs? little double A gap, double Cali.
I love Zim, and look, and the Cowboys' defense the last few years has been top five. Their offense has been number one, two of the last 3 years, for God's sakes. Yeah, like they're
loaded, man. They are loaded.
I just did the math here, too, I know, and I'd use a calculator. In the last three seasons, they have a point differential of plus 491. 491 over the last three seasons. That's an incredibly balanced team, and they haven't been able to do anything next to anything in the playoffs. But I think we look at Jerry Jones as this big mover and shaker. Dude, Jason Garrett coached that team for 10 years. Mike McCarthy has been on the hot seat for 4 years now, and like, there's been nothing that has happened either. So I think we're so quick also to look at the Cowboys, and I'm super guilty of this too, by the way, of just saying, well, Jerry Jones is going to blow him out. He's going to blow him out. He had Jason Garrett be the head coach for 10 years. Yeah. He's not going to blow anybody out. Like, no, he's not going to do this. But I would love the idea, though, of Mike Zimmer being the head coach of the Cowboys. I would love that. We'll see if it actually works out for them.
It might be opportunistic is the word that...
Everybody hold your water. Ready?
Okay.
What's that?
Next question here. What are the betting markets trying to tell us? So the Vikings are now, and I think Thor Nystrom might be driving this from what he said on our podcast last Thursday. The Vikings are now the odds-on favorites to draft J.J. McCarthy. And also, according to DraftKings Sportsbook, as of last night, the Vikings moved from plus 350 for Bo Nix to plus 1600, meaning they were fairly likely to draft Bo Nix as of like middle of the day. And as of last night, they are much less likely to draft Bo Nix. So what information is pouring into DraftKings and some of these sports books that say, like, Bo Nix projected to be more like later first round or second round? Yeah. What do you think the markets are trying to tell us?
I think, well, first of all, I think
the tracks and the train's coming
through. Doing a great job. Why does that guy have to blow that horn? It's a small street. The odds of a car coming are very low, and the car should stop. Quit blowing the damn horn.
We should get that conductor a Vikings horn instead of a train horn.
That would be great if he came by with that bike. That's a great idea. I love that idea. I've seen this shift like the last 3 days, and I don't know, like, in all seriousness, if this is, because I mean, Thor did get on and make a passionate plea and it caught a ton of steam, but is this off the Super Bowl with what the scuttlebutt is there as well? Something is at work here. I don't want to say it's got a ton of credibility, but it is interesting. Like, there's something going on behind the scenes, I think, that we don't know about. But it also makes sense. And I wonder if McCarthy, and it's weird again, because we're not to the combine yet. And we're certainly not to pro days. Mm-hmm. I wonder if McCarthy, it feels like things are shifting, which always happens. This feels a little premature to me, but who knows if I'm wrong or not. But it feels like things are shifting as far as McCarthy going up towards that top three group.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say he's there, but it feels like he's closer to there than he was originally.
But you've got, like, no joke, like, in the last week, you've had Jim Harbaugh go on his I think it was his press conference, right? Or maybe it was the interview with Cowherd or somebody. And he said, by the end of this process, J.J. McCarthy will be the number one quarterback off the board, which is insane for all of us to process right now. But, like, it's Jim Harbaugh saying it.
Right.
And then, and I don't say this tongue-in-cheek, Thor Nystrom is a legitimate, like, that clip of Thor Just banging on the table for JJ McCarthy went viral across the internet 4 days ago on Purple Daily.
Absolutely.
And it's Fantasy Pros, and it's like the platforms that he has. So I just wonder with like some media, is it media noise that's pushing this McCarthy Vikings thing? Or is there actual behind the scenes information being gathered by sports bookmakers?
Feels like it might be a little bit of both.
Hmm.
I would guess that if you work at a sports book and you're doing these odds and you come across that Thor clip, and you've got some sources yourself, you're probably going to make some phone calls, right?
Because
here's what's weird.
Go to your safe house and make a call?
Yep.
Bo Nix is actually coming off a Senior Bowl in which he was pretty good. So, like, his falling makes less sense due to that. So something's going on elsewhere that's driving this a little bit.
And it's not necessarily Bo Nix is falling. It's that the Vikings are less likely to draft Bo Nix.
Right.
Well, so, super interesting. Mm-hmm. No. Okay, question number four here. And we do have a mock draft that we're going to flip.
Green 18! Green 18!
Does it surprise you guys that this year's Super Bowl was the most watched TV program in U.S. television history? That data came out last night. It was, 123.4 million average viewers, which is, I think, a third of the country was watching that game at any given time on average. I don't know if like 25% of them were Swifties watching football for the first time, watching Travis Kelce blow a gasket. But what are your thoughts on this being the most watched television program in United States history?
Declan?
Not a surprise to me. I mean, it's a Super Bowl. Even with people who don't like football, they know the Super Bowl. I heard Greeny and Hembo talking about this because, like, Hembo thinks these numbers are honestly false. He doesn't believe that there is this many people watching the Super Bowl, which Greeny was also just flat. Wait a minute, you don't think there's 60% of the world is not watching the Super Bowl?
Think about this, like 123 million. Here's how I ask it, because there's what, 350 million people in this country.
Mm-hmm.
So this is telling you that one in every three people was watching the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Now, I get that our sample size is different because we are like sports people and the people that we interact with are sports people. But of all the people that you guys interacted with over the last like week, just think in your heads.
Yep.
Did a third of them watch the Super Bowl?
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
100%.
It's a pop culture
Easily.
Event.
Yes.
Without Tay-Tay, it's a pop culture event. With Tay-Tay, it's even more so. So yeah. Like, but I mean, this is not a sporting event of, oh yeah, let's sit down and watch this game. Like when we say watching, we're being very loose with that. Like, was it turned on? Yes, absolutely. Do I think that people actually consumed it? Maybe a little bit here and there, but I buy it totally. I'm with Declan.
Yeah, I think a lot, I would say of the 123 million average viewers, I would say about 40 million of them were just like wives or girlfriends wanting Usher to take his shirt off during the halftime show. And they got what they desired.
And I was in the very few that was on my couch, notebook in hand, cleared the house out and watched it all alone.
Oh. Did Dawn watch the game with you?
She was with family in Iowa.
Okay.
With Stella.
Did they watch the game?
Oh, wow. You were alone.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, in fact, we had a family pool, and my niece Jordan won because the Chiefs won because she's a Taylor Swift fan, beating out Dawn, and I was second to last.
Of course,
the
sports guy doesn't know what he's watching.
In the playoff pool. I got off to a terrible start. Picked Dallas to beat Green Bay, bunch of stuff, and so yes, my dear wife finished in second place.
Yeah. So, by the way, the rest of this list here. So, the top 10 TV programs in U.S. history in terms of total viewers are all Super Bowls. 11 is MASH, the MASH finale from 1983.
That was number one for, like, ever.
Yep. It was number one until the 2010 Super Bowl. Now, of course, it's more impressive that MASH is on this list because in 1983, the U.S. population was far, far less than it is now in 2024, right? So MASH hanging on like fringe top 10 still is pretty impressive.
That was a hard
And then
episode, by the way.
The next 20 programs are all Super Bowls.
Of course.
Dating back to like the 80s. Can you guys guess, besides MASH, I have a list of the top seven non-football television broadcasts in U.S. history.
Okay.
Are they?
MASH is number one.
Are they shows? Are we talking about something outside of like?
It's a good question. So five of them, let's see here. Five of them are like show, like scripted shows of some kind.
Yeah.
Seinfeld.
And then
finale?
One of them is a sporting event. One of them is a sporting event.
Seinfeld finale?
Seinfeld finale is seventh on this list. Look at Jolly. Look at Jolly. 76 million.
When's a sporting event? Interesting.
When's a sporting event? I'm trying to think of other.
Cheers finale?
Cheers. There we go. I was trying to think of that. Cheers is a good one.
80.5 million people on May 20th, my birthday. May 20th, 1993.
In Bullwinkle's watching that.
Oh, were you? Dreaming. Dude, watching that at a bar must have been a great experience.
Oh, it was really cool. Yeah. Yeah, okay. It was great.
Can you guess the sporting event? I'll give you the other TV shows because you're probably not. The Dallas Whodunit episode.
Oh, JR. Who shot JR?
Okay.
Very
famous. 83.6 million. That was when there was only like five channels that you would. So if there was a TV show on CBS, everybody was watching
like
it. As opposed to now, it's like, have you seen that show on Amazon Prime? Like, I
haven't streamed MASH on Paramount Plus yet. I got to go watch that finale.
Oh, man. Roots Part 8 in 1977.
Okay. Yep.
76.7 million. Okay. And then the day after.
Oh, 1984, right?
An American television film.
Yes, about nuclear war and the day after.
That's I've
very famous scare tactic.
People are going to hate me for saying this. I saw this big clip on TikTok on the exec show. That's how I figured out about that.
So I'm adding things to watch.
You weren't born for like 9 years.
Yeah, exactly.
I would.
So give me the sporting event.
All right,
give you guys a few
guesses. World Series. I'm guessing.
No, it's not
baseball. A World Series. Okay, I thought maybe. Like,
it is not one of the four major men's team sports.
Olympics?
It is Olympics.
Okay. 1980. Because it wasn't that on tape. It's a tape delay.
It's a great guess. But it was not.
Tape delayed. Russia.
Oh.
And the U.S. was played at like 2 o'clock central, but it was aired at like 7 o'clock
That's
central.
Right. So Olympics. Trying to think of.
Oh, is it? It's figure skating.
Wow. Dude. Wow. Wow.
Nancy
wow.
Kerrigan, Tanya Harding.
Oh.
Shut up. Why? Why me?
Why me?
It was 1994 Winter Olympics in Lillehammer. I love to lick a lemon lollipop in Lillehammer. Ladies figure skating. Come out next on
huge,
NBC.
Huge.
February 23rd, 1994.
Wow.
Nice job, you guys.
Wow. Good job, Judd.
That was pretty good. Yeah.
Everybody hold your water.
There's the hard count. If you guys have ideas for hard count questions around the NFL, around the football world,
doomsday
life questions,
prepping. Doomsday
prepping, just send them to us. Hear it.
You're done. Just accept it.
Hey, I got a mock draft.
I want a mock.
Presented by our friends at Federated Mutual Insurance Company. Federated, if you're looking to avoid doomsday, no, Federated is here to help you with risk management. That is what they specialize in. They were founded in 1904 down in Owatonna, Minnesota. They're one of us, so to speak. And they specialize in several different industries, which you can find a list at federatedinsurance.com. They're all about face-to-face, eye-to-eye human relationships. And they just offer a great guiding hand to support your business. And they measure the success of their business by the success of your business. It's a true partnership. Federatedinsurance.com, where it's our business to protect yours. This one is from our friend Alec Lewis, The Athletic. It's his first mock draft of the season, and he didn't do like 1 through 32. He did all the Vikings picks.
With a trade.
And there's a trade.
Yes.
Alec knows what he's doing, dude. Alec, if you're listening, the trades are necessary. You can't do a full mock without doing trades. So nice job, Alec. So number one, he's got the Vikings with the 11th overall pick, standing pat, and addressing a major need on the interior defensive line, drafting Byron Murphy II out of Texas, defensive tackles. The Vikings would have all of the Byron Murphys in the NFL would be on their starting defense. It's like the year they had all the Dalvins. Remember that?
Dalvin Tomlinson,
Dalvin Cook. It's great. But But then he's got the Vikings trading up from the second round, moving up from 42 back into the first round, where they select with the number 30 overall pick. Quarterback out of Oregon, Bo Nix.
I want a mock.
Alec. How could you?
The Vikings would likely have to part with their number 42 pick and a 2024 fifth rounder and maybe a 2025 third rounder the following year to make this jump.
Would you do, if you were in a position to jump back in and grab a quarterback, and let's assume that the top three and McCarthy are all gone, would you do this to take Bo Nix or Michael Penix Jr.?
God, it's so hard because, like, I'm not sitting here grinding all the film on both these guys, and I would just be kind of flipping a coin.
Yeah, yeah.
If Kevin O'Connell pounded on a table and said, Bo Nix is my guy, I would say, okay, sounds good.
I do agree with that. I think if O'Connell so much as blinks about a quarterback, I ain't drafted him.
Yeah, I mean, it has to be a true partnership, because in theory, you'd be connecting Kevin O'Connell to this quarterback for the next 3 or 4 years.
Jobs are on the line. DEFCON 1.
Oh, now we're DEFCON 1.
Now nuclear war. To DEFCON.
Well, jobs are on the line. Yeah.
Nuclear war is
imminent.
Yeah.
Imminent.
So, all right, there's another mock to add to the pile here, boys. We've got Write That Down predictions and a juicy season finale accountability session. So we'll make our first predictions of the new Write That Down season tomorrow. And we will go through one of the more crazy accountability sessions in the history of Purple Daily. Write That Down.
I knew it.
It's going to be wild. So thank you guys for hanging out with us. We just want the Vikings to win a Super Bowl before we die. And the offseason starts this week.